Stand on your feet. said he's been better to me than I've been to myself. And some of y'all know you've been good to yourself. And if God has been better to you than that, then you ought to have some praise in your heart. Then you ought to emanate from your heart through your lips and your hands. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell your neighbor, say something.
Say something, say something.
Amen. In the book of Psalms, 56th number and verses 1 through 4, there is a word from the Lord. Y'all already know, and Brother Raymond, I hate to impose on you, but y'all know what my favorite song is. A little song by Hezekiah Walker says, I'll make it. And I thought I'd take a little time this morning to let you know why I get such joy around that song, amen. I thought I'd let you know, amen, how I know I'm going to make it. I don't have no doubts about it, amen. Dr. King said, if you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. I got it wrong. He said, if you can't fly, run. And if you can't run, walk. And if you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, he said, keep moving. Come on, tell your neighbor, keep moving, keep moving. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Psalm 56, verses 1 through 4, there you will find these words. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Amen. God bless you. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, that they will know beyond any doubt that you're God and God all by yourself, and with you, God, they can make it. We thank you for these blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anyone who is attempting, thank you, ushers, who's attempting to live victoriously in God, you're going to have to encounter some opposition along the way. I need to tell you that it is naive to believe that because you are well-mannered and well-intentioned, that events are going to unfold in your life without tension, without problems, and without difficulties. There will be moments of misery. There will be days of distress. There will be times of trouble. And there will be seasons of suffering. I need to let you know that no person is isolated against irritation. And none of us are permanently protected from pain. But the good news is, you can make it. Tell your neighbor, you can make it. Yes, you can make it. You can make it through. You can make it out. You can make it over. By the grace of God, Pastor Garner has come by to remind someone who perhaps is at their wit's end, who perhaps is thinking about, considering, giving up, throwing in the towel. I've come by on this Sunday morning to tell you, don't give up and don't give in. No matter how it looks, you can make it. And that's the meaning of this message and the testimony of this text, because this 56th psalm was composed and sung by David during the course of him pursuing the purpose and plan of God for his life. His purpose unfolded within the context of Saul's relentless persecution and his desire to kill David. And the historical context of this text emerges out of 1 Samuel 21. So in your private time, go back and read, amen, the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel. You'll find there that David's flight from Saul's persecution positioned him in the camp and in the hands of his arch enemies, the Philistines. Weary from battle and emotionally drained, his twisted rationale for going there was that the enemy of my enemy is somehow my friend. Oh, my brothers and sisters, and it is out of a frantic desire to escape Paul that he takes refuge in the Philistine camp, but quickly discovered that the enemies of God's purpose are never the friends of God's people. Some of y'all are trying to run with folk, amen, who care nothing about God's purpose for your life. Some of y'all are trying to, amen, impress and please folk who don't care nothing about you going to church. They don't care nothing. They don't want to have any part in spirituality. They don't want to have any part in God and Christ, amen. And yet you're going out of your way to try to impress them and please them. But Pastor Garner has come by to tell you today that if someone is an enemy of God's purpose, if they are an enemy of God's plan, they are no friend to you. Some young person needed to hear that today. As a matter of fact, some old folk needed to hear that today. But more plainly, I need to tell you that there are people who cannot stand each other. Can I tell y'all what I've experienced in my own life? People who cannot stand each other, but they'll join together in their not being able to stand you. Some of y'all act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who would not ordinarily speak to each other, but they will find common conversation if it means they can sit around and talk about you. Do I have any witnesses in here? Don't make me feel like I'm by myself. You Bible readers will remember in the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. You will remember those three fellows, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, who, although they were historical rivals, they joined together in their opposition against Nehemiah rebuilding the wall. They came together to oppose the work that God had called Nehemiah to do. In the New Testament, if you don't remember that, some of you will recall the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, the holy folk of that day, amen, they joined with the Herodians, the worldly folk, in their opposition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the enemy is always just that, an enemy. And since some of y'all can't believe Peter and Paul and John, let me call up another prophet. Let me call up Maya Angelou, who said that when people show you who they are, you may as well go on and believe them. Do I have any witnesses in the house today? David realized, and having come to his senses in the text, the Bible says he began to act crazy. When he realized the position he was in, the Bible says David started acting crazy. And that's a paradox. Because when the Philistines thought he was sane, he had actually lost his mind. Because it was crazy for him to think he could find friendship in the company of his enemies. That was crazy. Amen. Amen. He acted so crazy that the Philistines released him. They said, man, get on out of here. You're good and crazy. Get on out of here. And can I pause here parenthetically and tell you some folk ain't acting? I need to tell you that it is one of the mysteries of God's grace that sometimes the way God delivers you, the way God delivers us from our enemies, is to put us in a situation where we got to act a little crazy. And can I tell y'all something? You don't want to see where I'm going. Act crazy. Amen. Amen. And I know I'm not by myself. Some of y'all know how you get. Amen. When folk force you to act crazy. Do I have any? Where my old school saints at? Amen. Some of y'all know something about don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying. he wrote this song. That's what it is. A psalm is a song. It was his release party. He wrote this song. It's a song of trust that has a recurring theme. And I want you to notice the theme. The theme is this: when I am afraid, God, I will trust in you. When I'm scared, God, I'm going to trust in you. When I get anxious and don't know how I'm going to take it, or if I can take it, or how I'm going to make it, amen, I will trust in God. And brothers and sisters, we've got to learn that any person that chooses to pursue God's purpose in their life will have to pursue it while facing opposition. Are there any witnesses in the house? Here David references his opposition, how his words were being warped, how his enemies were crushing him, how arrogant and high-minded people had risen up against him, how his every move was being scrutinized in an effort to diminish his light and his life. And yet in the midst of this consideration, he recognizes the danger of focusing on that stuff. Because get this, if he only focused on his haters, and I think, amen, I've had some folks, my mama said, you need to stop always talking about your haters. And you know, some kind of way, Brother Mallet, it used to be that every sermon I'd figure out a way to say something about my haters. But Sister Mallet, my mama said, stop talking about your haters. Stop worrying about your haters, because the devil knows that as long as you stay focused on them, you can't hear God. Is there anybody in here who understands you got to keep your eyes on God? Amen. You've got to keep your eyes on who and what, amen, is for you. Because if you keep your eyes on who and what is lined up against you, that will breed in you anxiety and uncertainty and fear. It was that type of morbid focus that caused him to run from Saul into the hands of the Philistines in the first place. Therefore, having learned his lesson, looking over his shoulders, he asserts and affirms for us how he made it through those agonizing times. And my brothers and sisters, in the midst of situations that are stressful and circumstances that are chaotic, you and I can ill afford to permit ourselves to focus exclusively on those things alone. What we have to do is pull up, pull out, and pull on those things in our history that remind us of how we made it yesterday. How many folk in here got a faith file? Amen. You see, the devil, he defeats us by getting us in a situation where we get scared. And God is standing there saying, all you got to do is pull out your faith file. This ain't the first time you've been sick. This is not the first time you didn't know how you were going to pay a light bill. And this is not the first time your child got out of line and acted crazy. But God is saying, didn't I deliver you last time? Didn't I heal you last year? Did not make a way for you the last time. So instead of getting fearful, I dare you to keep your eyes on God. When trouble arises and difficulty shows up, when trials march across the terrain of your life, when tragedy cuts you off in the lane of progress, it's important to understand that degrees alone cannot deliver you. Accolades alone won't assist you. Assets alone will not aid you. You've got to know God, and you've got to know what God is able to do. When the storms of life beat relentlessly against your door, when the bottom drops out, when the unpredictable and unexpected tag team and try to take out your confidence, you need to know God. You to tap somebody and say, that's how I made it. I know God. Come on. If you really know him, you don't have to tap him. Just look at somebody and say, that's how I made it. I know God. And what I love about knowing God is he knows me. As a matter of fact, y'all, he knows me better than I know him. Am I in Bible country? I know I am, because the Bible says that he sees each tear that falls. I know I'm in Bible country because the Bible says he hears me when I call. And can I tell y'all, I've got 99 problems, but not knowing God ain't one of them. I know him. I know him. Amen. The old folks said it's all right for mama to know him, and it's all right for daddy to know him. But if you're going to make it, you better know him. For where are my folk who know him, beyond a shadow of a doubt? Give him praise. And I guess I need to tell you that I'm not just talking about mental assent to God, not just knowing God in some theoretical sense. I'm talking about knowing him from experience. I'm talking about knowing that even when things don't add up, God can fix it. I'm talking about knowing that when things don't make sense, God can fix it. I'm talking about being in a position, a posture, and a place in your life where you don't need anyone to know it for you, because you know it for yourself. And when you know for yourself, you don't waste time trying to convince others that you know. Looking back on this reality where he had been hunted, hounded in a cave, in the field, day in and day out, David was able to announce that I know for certain I made it out, I made it through, I made it over, because I know God. And he knows me. Let me get to my points. Amen, 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 amen. First of all, I made it, and I was going to make it because of God's position. God's position. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. He said, this I know for certain, God is on my side. Okay, a different translation. This I know, God is for me. As he was being pursued by Saul, who had every intention of assassinating David, he understood that his predicament was not an indication that God was against him. See, because there are some folk in your life who, as soon as you get a little trouble in your life, as soon as something goes wrong in your life, they want you to believe it's because God is mad at you. Y'all ever dealt with folk like that? They have a real slick way of trying to convince you that all of your problems is because God is against you, because God is mad at you. Amen. But I have come by to encourage somebody today to let you know that in spite of your faults and your failures, and yeah, you got some, I got some, we all got some faults and some failures. We all have been some places we should not have gone. We all have said some things we should not have said. We all have thought some thoughts that we should not have thought. But in spite of all of that, amen, God still is on your side. You got to know it. You got to know it. You got to understand that God's basic orientation toward you is positive and not negative. It is triumph and not trauma. It is uplift and not downfall. In fact, one of the verses that many of us learned in Sunday school was John 3:16, which speaks to this positive orientation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to be in that number. You got to know that God is on your side. But then secondly, I'm going to make it, and I made it this far because of God's participation. It's important as people of faith to affirm the permanence, the purpose, and the particularity of God. Amen. In Psalm 56, David speaks of God's permanence by the name he calls him. He uses this name for God, Elohim. Amen. And the word Elohim speaks to the eternality of God. God is self-existent. No one birthed him into being. Thank you, little Greg. Amen. Amen. Thank you, little Greg, for asking the question, where did God come from? And giving me the opportunity to tell him. And I tell young folk, it's nothing wrong with asking questions. If you want to know, ask somebody. Amen. Where did God come from? And I was able to tell him that God always was. God is. That's why when Pharaoh, amen, when God called Pharaoh to deliver his people out of Egypt, Moses said, God, who shall I tell him sent me? And God said, tell him, I am that I am. He always was. He always is. He always will be. David said, that's who God is. But that's not who people are. He uses a different word for us folks. He uses, amen, the Hebrew word Enosh, which means weak man. That speaks, my brothers and sisters, to our biology, our fragility, our finality. When he raises this rhetorical question in verse 11, what can mere mortals do to me? He is really asking, what is the creature compared to the creator? I'm talking about them folk bothering you. I'm talking about those folk you're so afraid of. I'm talking about the folk that have you ducking and dodging. Amen. David says, what is something that has a beginning and an end in comparison to someone who is from everlasting to everlasting? And so it's important for us to affirm the permanent participation of God in our lives, even as we struggle with the temporariness and transitoriness of human beings. How many of you are glad God is in your life? Amen. I'm glad he's in my life. I'm glad to know about his position. I'm glad to know about his participation. Amen. Amen. God is particular about me. I've been seeing a song on Facebook and YouTube saying something like, don't mess with me, God chose me. Amen. Don't bother me, God picked me. And some of y'all, instead of running and hiding, y'all need to stand up flat-footed like Reverend Garner and look at folk and say, amen, be careful what you say about me. I'm a child of God. Amen. It might be true, but be careful how you scandalize and drag my name around. Amen. I'm a child of God. Where are my folk who can testify that I belong to God? I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not everything I want to be, but thank God I'm not all that I used to be. And if you don't want to applaud me, I will applaud myself, because God has brought me a mighty long way. Give him praise in this place. His position, that's how I made it. His participation, that's how I made it. But then finally, David says, I made it because of God's proclamation about the outcome. His proclamation about the outcome. Y'all, David speaks here about praising God's word, not just in the utterance of God's word, but the reality of what God has spoken. God spoke David's future. Can I tell you something? God spoke your future. God knows just where you're going to be tomorrow. God knows just what your bank account is going to look like tomorrow. God knows, amen, about, amen, that repair you're going to need on your car tomorrow. God knows about that sickness that your insurance don't cover, amen, that's going to show up in your life tomorrow. And can I tell you something? Since he knows my future, and since I've already convinced myself and hopefully convinced you that he loves me, that I'm his child, that his thoughts about me are positive, that I can expect a good end, because God said of me, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Since I know all of that, that bill ain't gonna shake me, that sickness is not gonna detour me, you talking about me is not gonna stop my praise, I will yet give God praise